I say a friend of mine, although I can't say that I've actually been with him that many times. Larry Pecorella's in our studio. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hey, John. How are you?
You and I have a mutual friend.
Yeah.
Named Steve Hayward, who is the hit whisperer and taught my son how to hit a baseball pretty well.
And mine, too.
And so you and I, as a couple of baseball dads, met through the hit whisperer.
A while ago.
At Strikes Baseball Academy. If you have a son or daughter that wants to play baseball, go to Strikes.
He was the best.
That's one for you, Steve. You owe us. You are the CEO of Comma?
Yeah.
What's Comma?
Comma's a music company. We do music production mainly for commercials over the years, and we also have an online library.
I want to talk about both of those things. But I just think that's so interesting. I think we see commercials.
Yeah.
We're entertained by commercials.
Correct.
We don't know how those happen. That business exists in Chicago for national brands.
Big, big. Yeah, I've been doing this for a long time in Chicago. And I will tell you, my first Super Bowl spot was in 1986, January of 86. And if for Chicago fans, obviously, you know what year that was.
Holy cow, that's right.
Correct. And I was actually not far from here in one of these kinds of buildings right in this area and landed a spot for McDonald's in the Super Bowl. And it really launched us.
I'm sure you remember.
It was for McDLT. The hot size hot and the cold size cold, and it was this rollerblading thing, and these two kids were rollerblading, and then they kind of met in the middle, and it was kind of a rock, thoroughgood kind of track, and it was different from McDonald's at the time, and it really launched us.
So your angle on it was...
We did the music.
But isn't that interesting to me, too? I mean, so somebody comes up with the idea, somebody writes it, somebody casts it, and then when they get the thing, then now we need music to go with it.
Right.
Do they do that all along, knowing we need a George Thorogood music track, or
well,
do they
ask
you?
Well, in those days, yes. They tend to think music a little later in the process now, but back then, when the creative at the agency, it was Leora Burnett back then, was pitching the idea, she came to us and said, I really want to pitch this thing, I think I want to go in, and so we did a track, and she went in and pitched the whole idea, and whatever, so we were working all along, and then did the final track, you know, a few weeks before the Super Bowl. Now, it's kind of, because of the way technology is, and the way you can change things at the last minute with anything, it's happened in every industry, deadlines can get moved later and later and later, because of digital, you can change things, it happens way later in the process.
Do you think it's better to have original music or take a George Thorogood track, say, and just use that?
Well, I mean, personally, obviously, I write original music, so I think that's the best thing, because then here's the way I always say about, so unless the song is really apropos to the idea that it's so universal, this particular idea of a song works really well with that spot, I think that's great. But then everybody has a different relationship with music, right? You may hear a song and you may think, oh, that was the best summer of my life. And I love that song. And then somebody else may hear it and say, well, that's the year I broke up with my boyfriend or my girlfriend or whatever, and I hate that song. And you don't really have ownership of it, right? You're just borrowing the equity of it. So I'm not convinced it's always the best idea.
You said the commercials get made later in the process now.
Music does.
There was a story in the news that some of the commercials, one shot in Chicago area, that was happening last week. Is it possible?
That's way late in the process.
But I'm correct about this, if I'm not mistaken. Will you have a spot in this Super Bowl?
I will have a spot in this year's Super Bowl. I'm not going to say what it is, but we will have one in this year's Super Bowl. I will tell you that more years than not, I've got a spot in the Super Bowl.
Doing the music?
We've done the music. And I can name you things that, like, doing the music or even the sound design. Sound design is kind of like sound effects, whatever. So one year we did the Terry Tate office linebacker, the one where he goes through the office and he just slams everybody.
Oh, I love that commercial.
All right, we did
that
all,
is a funny commercial.
That's a funny spot. We did all the sound design, all, and then the music tag at the end. We've just did a Pokemon spot a couple of years ago.
The music tag at the end. So then it goes, bam.
Yeah, whatever it is. Right.
And so do you sit around and go, does it need a ba-choo or does it need a ba-dang?
You wouldn't believe that's exactly the way we talk.
Yes. What fun, though, right?
Yeah. I mean,
although I don't know.
I haven't had a real job yet.
You've got a music degree, though, correct?
Yeah, I went to Berklee College of Music.
Okay, Boston. So you've scored symphonies, correct?
Yes.
You've done...
I've worked with the London Symphony. When I first got out of school, I actually went on the road with the Glenn Miller Orchestra, which was, you know, the big band, and was
what
a
instrument
staff
did you
arranger,
play?
Piano and a staff arranger.
And now here you are doing...
Yeah. Now I sit with a computer all day long. And
do you hate the computers, what they've done to the business?
No, I will say it's not as much fun. It's productive.
You get more done with the machine.
Yeah, it has brought in a lot more people. Obviously, the entry level into the business now is, you know, we're competing against some composer in Belarus, you know, in his apartment with GarageBand.
Is the quality of the music those people are producing on their computers good enough?
Well, here's what I always say about that kind of thing. You know, supposedly certain places say, oh, we get artists all around the world. And to me, 17 million artists around the world, I find it hard to believe it. To me, it's like whenever they crowdsource a lot of music from a lot of different people, to me, it's like the opening episode of American Idol when you see the line out the door and all those people and they come in and they're horrible. You know, that's a lot of it, right? And then our job as curators is to sift through all of that, no different than how they do it on American Idol.
What's the commercial you've done for the Super Bowl or otherwise that I've seen that you're most proud of? Or that was most known?
Well, I will. You know, I worked on the Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Nothing But Net spot.
Are you kidding?
No.
What did you do for that?
And the subsequent ones after that.
There was a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you do for that?
So the first one, I was a producer on it. The second one, and mixed it. The second one, I was there in a rowboat or whatever, out at sea, and I composed that one. There's a different series, and there's another one back in the 90s that I'm, you know, proud of. We worked on. My company at the time was called Perfect Season for McDonald's, and that ended up being Steven Spielberg saw that spot and asked the writers that wrote that commercial to write Little Giants.
Really?
That's where the movie Little Giants came from that particular commercial.
Go back to the Larry Bird, Michael Jordan commercial. They're playing horse.
Yeah.
Off the rim, off the bus,
right.
The ball. So you get that, and now you've got to maybe make the sound effects match.
Well, I got to tell you, when we first saw it, it was horrible, right? It's Larry and Michael and green screen. And there's no music, there's no effects. The lighting is weird because, you know, Michael and Larry, just to be, you know, their complexions.
Couldn't be whiter and blacker.
Correct. And so, you know, Joe Pitka shot that, and I'm not, you know, how he shoots it and is able to even get it to look the way it did is amazing. So when you first see this, you're like, oh my God, is this going to even work? And then next thing you know, you put the music to it, the right track, the right this, that, and the other, and then the effects come in, and next thing you know, it's one of the biggest commercials of all time.
It's a funny commercial. I mean, I can play it back in my head. In fact, we queued up earlier in the week some of our favorite Super Bowl commercials. I Googled best Super Bowl commercials of all time. Mm-hmm. That's in everybody's top 10.
Yeah, that one. I think Terry Tate is, too.
Yeah. The one that wins all the time is the 1984 Apple commercial.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Where they throw the sledgehammer into the screen. Do you love that commercial?
Yeah.
Why?
I think that the, you know, part of it is with any commercial, the idea has to be so strong, simple and strong. And that idea is just, you know, it was revolutionary. Look at, we're still feeling the effects 36 years later of what that Mac did.
Yeah, so right. Never mind the references to 1984 these days. The computer revolution. It's hard to imagine that. I don't know. Does 1984 sound recent to you? But the Elif, it was yesterday, and we had Super Bowl commercials 1 through 7, I think. Do you have that one queued up? Go ahead and play a little of that.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
And then there's a little stinger at the end, but you hear the... And then, in the background. And it's this Orwellian 1984 kind of thing. And at the end, the guy smashes the old world and the masses are receiving something good. By the way, when you listen to that, you must be thinking, the music in the background, the sound effects, all of that.
I listen to all of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I hear more than I see.
Huh.
Yeah.
So just to segue from Super Bowl commercials, which you've obviously got a deep, what you've got a foot in, people are all producing their own stuff at home now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
And I know that there's a segment of Comma Music, your company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if I'm not doing a Super Bowl commercial, but I'm making a home video and I want a music track or a stinger, you guys, what, sell that or curate that?
Well, what we've done is now there are well over 50 million YouTube creators, let's just say, right? And but everybody's creating content. If you go to Best Buy and you look at the wall, it's just cameras and podcasts and all this stuff so that people can do stuff at home. But what they can't do, and what's hard to find, is music that they can put online that is won't get a copyright claim on it, right? You can't just put a Billie Eilish song on it or something like that. You have to have something that you've got the rights to. So we're offering a subscription service to this all this great music that we've got. you know, and you know, a monthly fee, and then you can put up as much as you want.
Different flights of service.
Yeah, there's different flights for an individual or for a small business, and you know, on the bigger side of things, we can't do it. You know, if it's McDonald's or whatever, it's broadcast. It's not for them, but it's really more for people that social media and
small businesses, something like that. So if I've got $9 a month, I subscribe to this vast inventory of music.
Correct.
Now I'm now I've got all of this music. Which songs do I want? So then I type in keywords, right?
So there's a keyword thing, just like if you were looking on Zappos for shoes or something. You know, you just kind of look, and it's like, well, I want something that's anthemic and building and aggressive or swagger or romantic or whatever. And it kind of curates the tracks for you and gives you a list of stuff, and then you play them, and you can audition them. If you like it, you download it, and now you can
use it.
It gets whitelisted, and it's free and clear to use.
Producer Elif, what were the keywords you were typing?
I've got ambient, comedy, hip hop, and R&B. I have a comedy one I can play.
Okay, so play That's me. Cool. So if I've got a funny video at home,
right.
I type in comedy. What do I hear?
Yeah, curious with it.
Right. So this is you or somebody at your company?
Actually, I think that was me. Yeah, it's my fitness.
Little Frankenstein vibe going on there. Type in as a keyword Frankenstein or, I don't know, scary.
Most of our music is our tracks, right? And so what I've always said is there's a skill to writing these tracks, and that is that it has to be catchy enough, like it was for you, that you kind of smiled and go, that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
And yet you can put it underneath whatever it is you're doing. It's like it's not going to get in the way of a voiceover or, you know, visually something.
I know we're running out of time here, but play me another track.
This is Candles Fade, which was an ambient one.
Wait, so this is called Candles Fade. This is the name of it, ambient music. So this is the video of Brenda and I on our anniversary dinner, shot by a third party.
There's a candle.
And we're in that table in the corner, and it's just a little romantic thing that when we show to our friends, they just blanch. They just go, oh, get a room. But this is our... But, I mean, that's the joy of this.
Yeah.
I mean, if the music evokes these sorts of feelings, then the music's working.
Music to work tells you how you're supposed to feel. Yeah. It's about your emotion and the arc of the build or not.
So if I want to surf... Okay, so now you've got a sampling of what this guy does. If you want to search it, you go to comma music.
That's it.
And then it says individual or corporate or something.
Right.
Click on individual, and then you can sample the music there.
Commamusic.com.
Commamusic.com.
Yeah.
Larry, why don't you visit with us after the Super Bowl?
Because
I know some of the spots you're involved in you can't talk about now.
Right.
But we can sort of break them down maybe on
Be
Monday.
Fun. Great. Looking forward to it.
Larry Pecorella, commamusic.com. Right here in Chicago.